We continue with our teaching on the principle of Christ. We are hammering and we are reminding ourselves about obedience. Obedience gives life. The one area in which we have problems as human beings is in the area of obedience. If only we can obey, everything that we call problem in our lives will disappear. Pastor Mary shared an illustration during the Sunday school, but I have a true story that goes along with it. And it happens between a father and his son going to the farm. And they were in the middle of the bush. The man has trained his son, when you hear me say anything, don't question, don't think about it, just do it. So on this day, they were going to the farm, as little children would. He was going ahead in the pathway and playing with the bush. He had a stick in his hand, he would beat this leaf, he would beat this leaf. He was having a nice time going, so he wasn't paying attention. His father was coming behind, and his father saw that a branch that crossed the path, on top of that branch was a poisonous snake. And the poisonous snake had already moved back and was going to strike the boy. It was a split second thing. The father even had no time to call his name. The only thing he could do is just shout, "Lie down!" The boy just had, "Lie down!" Why he should lie down, he didn't know. Immediately he just went down. As he went down, the snake struck. And the snake missed him by inches. Obedience. When God tells you, lie down, he doesn't tell you why. You see, the problem with us is we are too logical. When we are dealing with God, we want to understand why. God says, don't go out today. You say, why? Why, Lord? Why shouldn't I go out today? But I have something I have to do. You remember, I have to go for evangelism. And the thing about God is that when he speaks and you hear him, he doesn't speak again. He doesn't speak again. Somebody said, if God speaks to you twice, that is grace. If he speaks to you three times on the same issue, it is amazing grace. He speaks only once. All he wants is to register, I have told you, and you heard me. Bam. Go and do whatever you want. Oftentimes, it is after we obey that we now understand why we had to obey. But he will never tell you why. He doesn't answer such questions. And as we go on in these studies, we shall be able to see why we must, as Christians, embrace suffering. Christians, we must embrace suffering, rejoice in suffering, because the suffering is being used to train us. We are being taught in the church now to reject suffering. Christians now have a negative attitude to anything that is called suffering. So when suffering comes, they will rather compromise. And thereby, they lose the fellowship with the Lord, and they lose the lesson that God is bringing into their lives. Listen, every problem that you have in your life today was put there by God to correct something in your life. Every difficulty, every challenge, every opposition. At times we think that it is people who are opposing us. It is people who hate us. No, they don't hate you. They are being used by God to perfect something in your life. The Bible says concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, that even though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus did not bring obedience from heaven. Jesus Jesus was not perfectly obedient because he's the Son of God. Adam too was the Son of God. Are you along with me? Adam too was born sinless. He was created without sin. The way Jesus was born sinless without sin. But you see, Adam was put inside the garden. Everything worked together for him. So the guy became indifferent. He took it for granted. Jesus came, God put him in a very hostile environment. At every point, they were always trying to kill him. He was dusty, he was tired, he only rode donkey once in his lifetime, just to fulfill prophecy. Everywhere he went, he trekked. He was hungry. People abused him. People confronted him. He suffered. And because of that, he learned to rely always on God. Now, when you are having difficulties in your life, when you are having challenges, when people are opposing you, it is not because God is multiplying enemies for you. He's using them to teach you obedience. Because that is the only path to life. Is somebody coming along with me? Last week, we mentioned that there are two principles in the universe. The principle of obedience and the principle of rebellion. At any particular moment in your life, you are operating under one of these principles. There is no time in your life that you are on neutral ground. You are either obedient or you are rebellious. You are either fitted into the perfect will of God or you are outside the perfect will of God. Obedience is symbolized by Jesus. Lucifer symbolizes rebellion. Now, in church, many Christians, in doctrine, they follow Jesus. But in principle, they follow Lucifer. And God is not interested in your doctrine. He's interested in your principle. He's interested on the principles upon which you base your life. So if you are quoting the Bible, but you cannot respond to authority, and you cannot submit yourself to authority, and you are disobedient, then you are a child of the devil. Does not matter how many times you have read the Bible, you are a child of the devil. That's what God is looking at. And he tests our obedience in little things. We are going to study later spiritual authority and be able to recognize what is authority. When a Christian gets into an environment, the first thing you look for, if you don't want to get into a problem with God, is who has authority here. Whether it is in an office, whether it is in a church, whether it is in your community, whether it is in your family, you look immediately, you identify who has authority here. You must identify, this is the person that has authority, and you submit. The person that has authority might be younger than you are. The person that has authority might be poorer than you. The person that has authority might not be educated. Are you following along with me? Eli was the high priest. Samuel had authority. There's a difference between position and authority. Saul was the king. David had the authority. Somebody go along with me. If you do not identify the person that has authority, you are going to run into a problem with God. You will begin to operate under the principle of rebellion. One of the things that the devil does to deceive people is to make them fight for their rights. Listen, any Christian that fights for his rights will go to hell. Any Christian that fights for his rights, he will go to hell. Yes? Huh? They can't cheat me. They can't do that to me. I know who I am. Nobody can try that with me here. No. There have been three other people like that, but me, I'm different. I don't take nonsense, so. Ah, you have lost meekness. You have lost submission. Because there are times when God will permit people to entreat you because he wants to see your reaction. Are you playing along with me? You know the devil is not afraid of us. The devil laughs. He laughs whenever he sees a disobedient person that is preaching the gospel or teaching. He laughs. And many of us are just naturally rebellious. Naturally rebellious. Because we do not recognize authority. In your office, your boss is the authority. Whether you like him or you don't like him is immaterial. If God doesn't want him there, God will remove him. In your marriage, your husband is the authority. Whether he makes mistakes or he doesn't make money, he is the authority. Children, your parents are the authority. In the classroom, the teacher is the authority. When you are on the road, plasma is the authority. Christian must identify, in anywhere you are, immediately who has authority here. We will explain why it is important later. Satan is not afraid of our prayer. He is not afraid of our binding and our loosing and our casting. No demon is afraid of our fasting and our prophetic conferences. They are not afraid. The only thing that the devil is afraid of in your life is your obedience. The only thing that frightens demons about you, the day demons will mark you as this is a dangerous Christian. And this one must be monitored. This one is a dangerous one. It's the day you make up your mind. Even if it will cost me my life, I will obey God. Ah, Satan says I have an enemy. That day he has an enemy. Why? Three reasons. Number one, our obedience reminds Lucifer of the strategy that Satan used, that Jesus Christ used to defeat him. Whoever uses that strategy will defeat Satan anytime. It's not binding and casting that scares demons. No. It is your obedience. It reminds him of the victory of Jesus. That is one. Two, there is no limit to which God can use someone that is perfectly obedient. A, God looks at you and says, whatever I tell this one, you will do. Higher. That day you become a vessel unto honor. That day God sets you aside and says, sit down there. When I have special things to do, I will bring you out. Because I know whatever I call you to do, you will do. There is no limit. In your generation, you will stand out. David committed murder. David lied. David conspired. But God still calls him a man after my own heart. Because God remembers Saul. Saul was not a man after his heart. Saul will not do what God says. David will do what God says. That's the difference. Number three, the obedient person has perfect authority over evil spirits. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's do something there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You remember that? The weapons of our warfare, that is not carnal, it's mighty through God. We cast down imaginations. We cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6 now says, why many of us are not able to exercise this authority. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So if your obedience is not fulfilled, the weapons of your warfare are not mighty, they are carnal. Are you still along with me? I had a story years ago in Port Harcourt. A pastor has a son. And one day some people came from the church, a woman was possessed by a demon. They prayed, nothing has happened. So they came to call pastor. Pastor was not at home. So they met his son, a small boy, still in the primary school. And they said, dad is not at home. They said, what are you going to do? He said, what is wrong? The boy said, what is wrong? They said, look, Junior, you can. He said, but you can tell me, you never can. I may be able to help, oh. Say you. So what can you do? Say, you never can tell what God can do. Oh. So they look. Sister so and so is possessed by demons. Tell him who she's manifesting terribly. Nobody can even hold her. We take pastor to go and pray. And the boy said, and that is why you are worried. Take me to her now. Say you. So take me to her. Say you. Is it not to go and pray? Take me to her. Something makes them, you know, the Holy Ghost convicted them, do what the little boy says. So they took the boy in the car and took him to the house where the demon-possessed woman was. None of the elders could go near, none of the big go near, and the woman was raving and like the madman of Gadara. And the little boy got there, opened the door. He said, don't go in, though. I said, why not? And he stepped in. And the woman went, shoo. He said, don't come near me. I said, don't come near me. Go back. Look, go. The boy put his two hands behind his back and kept moving towards her. I said, don't come. Take him away. Let him come. Don't. By the time he got to the man, the demon had disappeared. Little child, his father taught him obedience. He did not need to pray. He did not need to bind. He just needed to appear. When your obedience is made perfect, Satan fears you. Are you not alone? The only thing that makes Satan afraid in your life is obedience. That is why you make sure that at least once in a day you disobey God. So long as you disobey God once in a day, you and him, you are both rebellious creatures. And a rebellious creature cannot exercise authority over another rebellious creature. Why is Nigeria like this? Because the church has rebelled. So we can't bind Boko Haram. They have now become three. You see how they are multiplying? It was Tobias before that withstood Nehemiah. Then it became Tobias and Sambalat. And then it became Tobias, Sambalat, and Gashom. We were talking Boko Haram. Then we were talking Boko Haram and Saru. We are now talking Boko Haram and Saru jams. Jams just killed the seven French hostages. Those ones have set up their own, they are jams. Like joint admission matriculation board. That's jam. But it's the Islamic name of Jama'atua something something. Why? We are now living in disobedience. The day the church makes up its mind, we will return to obedience. We don't need to bind Boko Haram. It will fizzle out. What brings darkness? The exit of light, absence of light. If it is 12 noon that the sun decides to set, nobody needs to write a letter to darkness to come. It closes him. Wherever there is light, darkness is present. But darkness does not turn its back to light. Darkness faces light and it backs. And darkness stops at the point which the light reaches. And darkness waits. When the light begins to recede, darkness starts closing in. That's all. The reason why we are having all these things happening in the country is because the light of the church is no longer shining. We have made other gods for ourselves. We are now teaching people that obedience will guarantee you prosperity and wealth. It is fraud. It is a lie. If obedience guarantees wealth, if obedience is the key to earthly prosperity, how come Apostle Paul wasn't the richest man in his generation? Answer now, how come? How come Peter, James, John, and the other disciples did not amass all the silver and gold in their days? How come that it's only in our day now that obedience will activate prosperity? It's a lie. You obey God the way Jesus Christ obeyed God, asking for nothing in return. Your obedience is the confirmation of your sonship that you are a child of God. When you get to heaven, God will give you your reward. Here, there is nothing. He told you, having therefore food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And they are deceiving people. And people will not lift a finger now in church to do anything for God unless there is a reward. You can't get somebody to play keyboard now in church. You must place him on salary. The drama must be on salary. And the pastor, don't even talk about the pastor. He must be in jeep. And he must live in a mansion to befit his status as the son of God. And then we are worrying about Boko Haram. Why won't they come? The moment you lose disobedience, listen, I say it again. Every problem you have in your life is traceable to your disobedience. If you have problem in one area in your life, go and check if you are disobeying God. The day you return to obedience, that problem will disappear. And the problem most of us have is we are not able to identify authority. And we do not understand the principle of authority. So we think that we are being stubborn. We think we are fighting for our rights. We think that we are taking our stand. God never said you should fight for yourself. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He's the one who will fight for you. Say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You don't fight for yourself. When a Christian starts fighting for himself, he has lost Christ. He said, but pastor, if I give them to be doing that thing like that, they will think I'm stupid. That is what God wants. He wants them to think you are stupid, so that he can now show his wisdom. We can only exercise authority over demons if we are under authority. As we close for today, we will continue. This is part 2. We probably will get to part 6 in this teaching. So we must be patient, but we will try and make sure that we take each part one by one and treat it very well. I hope that is okay. I remember the story of a deliverance minister. Reverend Charles Achonwa told us this story years ago. You know, women, God help our women. I'm not looking at anybody, I'm just looking up. I said, God help our women. Thank God my wife is different. Women have this tendency that the man, if you do smell for the man, he will just treat you like a floor mat. Therefore, once in a while, the woman too will want to take her stand. But you can't treat me like that. No, you can't do that in this house. You think that the only one who has a say? Other people don't. Every time it is what you say, you know that you want us to begin. You think that I don't have mouth? No, I don't want to do it. Whatever, we have to let it happen. Women do it. Okay? There was this deliverance minister. She loves the Lord. She serves the Lord. She knows she has a ministry of dealing with evil spirits whenever other people cannot deal with them. But over a period of time, she discovered a pattern in magic. That every time she quarrels with her husband at home, whenever she goes for ministration, no demon will obey her. No demon will submit. She will sweat, bind. She will cast them out, they will abuse her. So I tell you to shut up in the name of Jesus. I tell you to shut up. And you say, what is your name? You say, look at that, what's your father's name? The demons will abuse her back. But she notices that anytime things are okay between her and her husband at home, when she goes for ministration, before she speaks, the demons are obeying. She now linked it that, wait a minute, if I submit, those foul spirits will submit to me. So before she now goes on ministration, she will first go and meet her husband. I say, please, I hope I have not offended you. Please, have I taken care of you the past few days? Have I done anything that you don't like? Please tell me. Please, I beg you. Have I done anything? She will, if she ever say yes now. Yes. Yesterday I came for my ask for my food. You looked at me as if, I beg you, I'm sorry. Please, in Jesus' name, forgive me. I will go and look, I will cook better food. She will make sure she pleases her husband. Then the husband will say, no, I'm not angry with you, you can go. That's when she will go for the ministration. She doesn't need to sweat. The moment she appears, the demons are running away. Why? Her obedience is perfect. Are you feeling along with me? There are some of us who say we are fighting with poverty. Poverty refuses to go. It is no special program that will drive poverty out of your life. It is your obedience. Because God has already promised that He will meet all of your needs. If your obedience is not perfect, a rebellious spirit will come and stand in the way and say, you will not get it, and you will not get it. And if God says, Michael, go and try that evil spirit, they will sit down and say, ah, Mozart, why? We are the same now. I rebelled in heaven, you threw me out. He too is rebelling. Why are you doing, Pasha? Michael, come back. Michael, come back. Put your sword back into its sheath. Holy Spirit, please, it's your son. Please deal with him. You can save yourself a lot of anguish. You can save yourself a lot of sorrow. You can save yourself a lot of tears if only you will purpose in your heart to obey. Take this home. Anywhere you are, identify who has authority and submit to that person. You are safe. Why? Because God really, really exercises His authority directly. He always exercises His authority indirectly through delegated authorities. We will talk more about that as we continue. But I thought I should just chip that in because you might want to ask that question. Why? Delegated authority, your teacher is one. Last man is one. Traffic warden is one. FRSC is one. Policeman is delegated authority. Your boss in the office is delegated authority. Your parent is delegated authority. Your husband is delegated authority. They are all over the place. Identify who has authority. If the person says stand, stand. If the person says sit, sit. If the person says keep quiet, keep quiet. You are safe. Let's have our next prayer. We'll continue next Sunday by the grace of God. Father, we just want to thank you. We bless your holy name, Jehovah. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand,